Yismach Yisrael, Parshas Lech Lecha, Tavshin Ayin Tes. What is Chos? 126 Pesukim in this week's Parsha. Well, let's stop with the Gematrias for a minute. Let's learn. Says the Medrash, Os Aleph. The Medrash Rabba, Rabbi Azariah, B'Shem Rav Yudin. I don't think that's Rabbi Yudin from Fairlawn, in case you're wondering. Rabbi Azariah in the name of Rabbi Yudin. Amar V'chulu. That's great. V'chulu. That's something. Okay, so let me read you the Medrash, because he only gave us a little snippet of the Medrash. Very often when you're learning Svarim from Tzadikim, from Poland, the Polish Chassidish Rebbes, whether it's Sfas Emes, or Imre Emes, anyone from the Gerd dynasty, or Alexander, many of the Tzadikim will often start with Midrashim, and then be marich from the Medrash. But very often they'll just quote half a line from the Medrash, so if you don't look up the Medrash, you have no idea what they're talking about. Okay, so here's what the Medrash says. The Medrash says, why is it that Avram Avinu didn't decide on his own to go to Eretz Yisrael? The Medrash implies that Avram was actually very excited to go to Eretz Yisrael. So the Medrash says, Shadayin lo hursha. Those are the words that you see actually on the page in front of you. Right, lama lo yatsa, if he was happy about it, lama lo yatsa in the third line, lefish lo hursha, because he didn't have rishus. But Avram was very excited about the idea of going to Eretz Yisrael. Now, we know from the Gemara in Meseches Kedushin and in Meseches Yoma that Avram Avinu kept Kol HaTorah Kula. So if Avram kind of knew that there was such a mitzvah, that this was something that his neshama sensed it would need, and that's why he was excited about it. So what does it mean he didn't have permission? What was he waiting for? You need permission to go to Eretz Yisrael? If Avram is so happy about it, why didn't he go earlier, says the Medrash? Odayin lo hursha. From the time he was hursha, from the time he got permission, then vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem. Then he went. So says the Yismach Yisrael, the fourth line, muchach midivrei ha-medrash hazeh, shahaya lo cheshek v'simcha. That Avram had a great desire and great feelings of joy. And like every Jewish neshama, there's a longing of a Jew to come to Eretz Yisrael. So Avram Avinu, no exception to the rule, wanted very badly to go to Eretz Yisrael. So let's ask the question like this. The Medrash says he was waiting to get permission to go, but he really wanted to go. So says the Yismach Yisrael, so I'll ask you a simple question. So what's the challenge of Lech Lecha? We know that Avram had 10 nisyonos. According to at least one understanding of Chazal, this is the first of the 10 tests. It starts with Lech Lecha Be'aretzecha, test number one, and it ends with Lech Lecha by the Akedah. So if this is the first test of Avram Avinu, what's the big test? He wants to go to Israel. He's longing to go to Eretz Yisrael. What's the nisayon? What is the nisayon of Lech Lecha Be'aretzecha? Not only that, the Sfarim ask, right, how does Rashi read Lech Lecha? L'hanascha l'tovascha. It's good for you. It's filled with bracha. Hashem says, I'll give you tremendous bracha. You'll be much more successful there than you are here. And the Midrashim are clear that Avram actually was not so into his hometown. So what was the big nisayon of picking up and going to the best land and being endowed with all this great bracha? What was the nisayon of Lech Lecha? Now what we're about to learn is not an idea that's uniquely found in the Yismach Yisrael. I want to just be honest. Okay, the Or Chaim HaKadosh already has such an idea. Kedushas Levi has such an idea. The Parim Yafos has such an idea. The Ber Mayim Chaim has such an idea. Many tzaddikim, Darchei Musar, quotes from the Oiv Yisrael, who has such an idea. There are many, many tzaddikim who have this idea. But he says it in his own way, and he's our Rebbe, so we're going to learn it from the Yismach Yisrael. But many tzaddikim offer this approach to what was the Nisayon of Lech Lecha. Everyone understand the question? What's the Nisayon? Avram wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. Why is that hard? He wants to go, and Hashem is giving him an all expense paid trip to Eretz Yisrael with lots of bracha and lots of promises of success. Your name will be great. Your family will flourish. You'll have financial success. So what's the Nisayon? V'nucha lefarish al pima di'isa b'yeshuas Yaakov u'v'svarim akadoshim al divrei ha-medrash. There's another medrash. Medrash says, Amar b'Levi, beiz pa'amim ksiv lech lecha, ve'ein anu yodim eiza chaviva, im ha'shnia im ha'rishon. Like I told you, it says lech lecha twice. Where's the first lech lecha? That's our parasha. Lech lecha me'artzecha. Where is, so to speak, the concluding lech lecha? Lech lecha to the Akedah. Go to the land that I will show you to slaughter your son. Lech lecha eretz Moriah. So it starts with lech lecha and it ends with lech lecha. Says the Medrash, says Reb Levi, I don't know which lech lecha is more chaviv. You don't know which lech lecha is more chaviv? Well, what do you mean? Do you know which lech lecha is more challenging? Let me think about this for a second. Killing your son after having waited 100 years to have such a son, who's going to be your future and the future of your mission, right? Murdering your own son, slaughtering your own son, and losing your reputation as the Ish Chesed par excellence, becoming a cruel, evil murderer of his own child. So that's not only the end of Yitzchak, it's the end of Avram's reputation. Versus going to a land that you want to go to anyways, and you're being given all sorts of blessing when you go to that land. So what does it mean? Which one was Chaviva? Which one does Hashem like more? Which one was harder for Avram? So he says, "Dehinei yadua da'avodas Hashem yisbarach ayidei achila v'shtia kasha yoser mal yidei ta'anisim v'sigufim." The truth is, in a certain sense, it is harder to be a good Jew when things are going well. Why is the Akedah easier than Lech Lecha Me'artzecha if the Akedah seems to be so difficult to do and Lech Lecha Me'artzecha seems so easy to do? That's what Avram wants to do anyways. And the answer is because serving Hashem, when it's hard, if I do it, there's no question that that's Avodas Hashem. But the parts of Judaism that I enjoy, that are fun for me, that are pleasurable, it's sometimes very hard to realize that that's actually Avodas Hashem. It becomes self-serving. So he says, the Sfarim tell us, it's easier to serve Hashem through fasting and afflictions than it is to truly serve Hashem through eating and drinking. V'zehu kushyas ha-medrash, ein yodea eiza chaviva. And that's what the Medrash is asking. Right? Which one is going to be greater in the eyes of God? What do you mean? Of course it's the Akedah. No, not necessarily. If Avram can receive all of the blessing of the beginning of this week's parasha, Lech Lecha, and he could do it l'shem Shemayim, that's even bigger than the Akedah. To be able to receive God's blessing, to make $1 million and to really say, it's not me. To really mean that, not just as like a cute soundbite, but to really feel this money is not mine, it does not belong to me. My financial success is not my own. My children are not my own. My good reputation is not my own. Those were the things that were promised to Avraham Avinu. So to be able to do that in a sincere, l'shem Shemayim type of way, is in fact much greater than even taking your son to the Akedah. That's how Yeshua Yaakov and others explain this medrash about which one is greater, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, the beginning Lech Lecha, or the Lech Lecha of the Akedah. So based on that, says the Yismach Yisrael, now I think I understand, just going back to the simple pshat, in our opening medrash, and really the question that we ask, what is the Nisayon of the Akedah? He says, I'll tell you what it is. Shezehu gam kein kan, the line that begins Shezeh. We're in Os Aleph, for those who just walked in, we're in Os Aleph on page 28, about 12 lines in. Shezehu gam kein kan, the same thing is true here. Dibe'emes Avram Avinu olav ha-shalom ha-yachafetz v'yishtokek v'yizgagei ala leches l'aretz Yisrael. Avram Avinu desired, and he was longing, and he was hoping to come to Eretz Yisrael. So when God says, go to Eretz Yisrael, why is that in Nisayon? Here's the answer. But Avram understood that if I go for myself, because I want to be there, then that's not what Eretz Yisrael is about. I'm not going there because I heard the weather's nice. And I'm not going there because I want to get away from my negative environment. Am I going there because God told me to go there? Or is it self-serving? So you know what Avram did? Avram waited until he had permission to go. He wasn't going to leave a second early. Afal pichin. Kishe'omer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu lech lecha. Lo halach machmas cheshech v'ratzon libo. And then when he finally got the call, and God told him he can go, you would think, okay, so now go and enjoy it. No. He's still focused on what? I'm only going because, not because I desire to go, because Hashem has commanded me to go. And that's exactly what the Pasuk says. And this is what many, again, of the tzaddikim I mentioned earlier, the Rechaim HaKadosh, Kedusha Levi, they all pick up on this. What does the Pasuk say? It's a little bit wordy, this Pasuk. Vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem. Avraham went as God said to him. What does that mean, Avraham went as God said to him? It's telling us about the attitude of Avraham. Avraham wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael for Avraham's sake. But he found the strength to go for Hashem's sake. And there's a big difference when a Jew does something because Hashem told you to do it versus doing it because you like it. Hashem commands us to learn Bava Kama. But Bava Kama is hard. I don't want to learn Bava Kama. There are other svarim I like to learn more. Why do I have to do Bava Kama? Because Hashem says a Jew needs to learn Bava Kama. I don't know. Take it up with God. What do you want from me? There's things that a Jew has to do. So some people spend their whole life just doing the mitzvahs that they like. But that's not avodas Hashem. That's serving yourself. It's not serving God. That's serving yourself. So Avram wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, independent of a commandment. But when Hashem commanded him, Vayelech Avram kasher diber elav Hashem, Avram went in fulfillment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command. Hainu, shahalach rak machmas dibur Hashem. He went only because Hashem said so. Lo machmas ritzono klal. Not because of his own desire whatsoever. V'zehu nisayon gadol. And to be able to do things in life and to claim that I'm only doing it because of Hashem and not for any ulterior motive is a very difficult thing to do. And that's what Avram did here. He went, every step he took was a fulfillment of the ratzon Hashem. Now, we'll see this idea again in Yismach Yisrael. In Parsha Shemini, we'll come back to this. We will again see this idea. And it's perhaps an idea we'll see in other places as well, because the themes that we're learning in Yismach Yisrael are emes, and humility, and sincerity. Right? This was part of the tradition that he got from his Rebbeim, the Rebbe of Orki, and Rav Simcha Buna of Prishischa. These are tzaddikim who are very much connected to the world of being honest and being real. So he tells us something very real here. Check yourself and ask yourself, when I do certain things, am I doing it because God said so? Or do I happen to just enjoy it? Like that time the Chiddush Arim had a guest at his Shabbos tish, at his Shabbos table. And the fellow wanted to impress the first Ger Rebbe, wanted to impress the Chiddush Arim. So as he was eating, every time he took a bite of the chulent, he said, L'chavad Shabbos Kodesh, L'chavad Shabbos Kodesh. He's trying to, show the Rebbe that he's a person of great kavana. So the Chiddush Arim looked at him, and he took a bite of his chulent, and he said, L'chavad mein boich, L'chavad my stomach. He said, anyway, come on, let's be honest. Are you eating the chulent really because there's a mitzvah to eat chulent on Shabbos, in quotes? Or are you eating the chulent because you like the taste of chulent? So just be honest about it. There's an avodah of eating. Of course there's a holy avodah of eating. But let's not pretend that just because you drop a few lechavat Shabbos kaidish that all of a sudden now you're eating for the sake of Shabbos. You're eating because it's good. Because your mom made a good deli roll. I don't know. That's why you're eating it. Because it tastes good. Okay, it's a madriga to work on. It's a hard madriga. But that was the godless of Avram Avinu. That Avram Avinu understood that I'm going to do things because Hashem said so. It's a major theme that appears in many, many places. I want to just give you a couple other quick examples. There's a lot of examples of this. But just another example from this week's Parsha, and an example, several examples from last week's Parsha. The Chassam Sofer, there's a volume called Drushim V'Agados from the Chassam Sofer. Published from the Ksav Yad of the Chassam Sofer. So he says that when Avram is told to give himself a bris milah, he's told v'heyetamim, which means bris milah makes you whole, makes you complete. Right? Avram is going to become Avraham, Avhamon Gayim. It's a big thing. Bris milah is transformative. There's a lot of benefits to having a bris milah if you're an Avram Avinu. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram, the way the Chassam Sofer understood it, V'hayetamim, not just that the milah is going to make you wholesome and complete, but give yourself a bris milah. Now, Avram is how old? Avram is 99 years old. Avram is not a young man. And Hashem says, Avram, I want you to give yourself a bris milah. I want you to do it with the tmimus of an eight-day-old child. Right? One of the amazing things about the mitzvah of bris milah is it's probably the most honest mitzvah we ever did in our life. It's probably the mitzvah we did with the least, negia, ulterior motive. Right? We didn't sign up for it. We're barely mindful of what we were doing. And it was painful. It was with Siras Nefesh. Bris Milah is a very sincere way for a Jew to begin his entrance into mitzvahs as an eight-day-old child. So Hashem says to Avram, the Chassam Sofer writes in the Jerusalem V'Agados on page 132, He says that Avram is being told by Hashem, "Hayei tamim, can you do the mitzvah? You're a big philosopher, Avram Avinu. You've been searching for God for a long time. And you understand what Bris Milah is going to actually do in terms of transforming our relationship. But can you do it with a tmimus? Can you circumcise yourself with the innocence of an eight-day-old child? Not so easy. Now you're an adult. You have all sorts of you have your own calculations. You have your own desires. That's a challenge. And Avram seems to rise to that challenge. How about in last week's parasha? When the pasuk says that Noach built the teva, and it says Noach did kasher tziva Hashem, vayas Noach es teva. Noach made the teva like God commanded. Writes for Moshe Feinstein in the Darash Moshe, same exact vart. Anytime you see the words kasher tziva Hashem in the Torah or something similar to that, you know what some sefer is going to say. Kasher tziva Hashem, right? Could have done it for himself. Noach could have built the boat because he's smart enough to realize I don't want to die or drown. But Noach didn't build the boat because he wanted to live. He built the boat because God commanded him. Noach made the boat in fulfillment of the commandment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you remember, we learned Chaim in Parshas Noach, once upon a time, where it says about the waters continue to rage because Hashem said so. The Kaddish says, what do we learn from that? Look how the water listens to Hashem. God said so. Now, Chaim spoke about the importance of not making your own cheshbonos. We have rabos machshavos levish. We have all sorts of our own calculations. But look how, as the month's taking place, the waters are doing exactly what God told him to do. And Noach's building the boat exactly what he told him to. And Avram Avinu is setting out to Eretz Yisrael, not because Avram wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, but said so. And he's giving himself a bris milah, not because it comes with many spiritual benefits, right? But rather he does it because Hashem says so. I think a proper way to strike a balance with this idea is something I saw in a volume called Kisvei Ramam, Rav Moshe Midner. Rav Moshe Midner was connected to Slonim. And Rav Moshe Midner says, he says it's like a soldier going out to war. Yeah? Think about how much training and preparation goes in to preparing a soldier for the battlefield. The preparations, the military strategies. But the bottom line is, once you're out, you know, so to speak, on the battlefield, right? You don't have time to like think like, wait a minute, we had a class on this, right? Like tell the enemy, stop shooting for a second, hold on, I have a class on what I'm supposed to do when the enemy shoots at me in this particular way, or when we're attacked. You kind of just do it. You don't have time for all the kavanas and all the meditations and all the preparation. So before you go out to the battlefield, prepare yourself. Figure out all sorts of intentions, what you want to do. But Lamaisa, when you do it, just do it. And I think that sort of answers all like the Baal Shem Tov stories about, you know, people who prepared the kavanas and then they forgot the kavanas and then they just did the mitzvah with simplicity. So what are we saying? Is it bad to have kavanah? Is it bad to have, you know, higher level understanding of things? Are we supposed to just be immature in our understanding of God? And the answer is there has to be a balance between how much I understand and how much I prepare and how much of my own self I inject into it. And then just that surrender, God says so. Why do I do it? Because God says so. Why do I blow a shofar, the Rambam we always quote? Because God says so. Oh, it also wakes us up to do tshuva, but the real reason I blow a shofar in Rosh Hashanah is simply because God says so. I do things because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says so. And that's a very high level, to be able to surrender to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 2 years ago, our family went to Los Angeles for Shavuos. And I remember, somehow I was thinking, I don't know what vart I had seen on this topic, but I had this idea in my mind of doing things because Hashem says so. So we get on the plane, we're flying back from Los Angeles to New Jersey, and the captain gets on the intercom or whatever, the loudspeaker, and he says, the captain is requesting that, you know, we're experiencing some turbulence, and the captain requests that everyone please fasten their seatbelts. Okay, so I'm a good obedient person, I put on my seatbelt. And then I said, wait a minute, hold on a second. Why am I putting on my seatbelt? Am I doing it because the captain says so? Or am I doing it because Hashem also wants me to be safe? So I opened the buckle, I opened my seatbelt, and I clicked it again. Kasher tziva Hashem. Because Hashem also wants me to wear a seatbelt when there's a situation that requires a seatbelt. Right, who am I subservient to? Now that may be a ridiculous example, but I was very proud of that moment, enough that I remembered it to share with you today. Because there's many opportunities in life to ask yourself, am I doing it because of another human being? Am I doing it for some self-serving reason? Or am I doing it kasher tziva Hashem? There's a lot of things that we could do, and I could do it for myself, or I could do it be'emes, kasher tziva Hashem. And that was the godless of Avram Avinu. I'll just give you one more example, which I think is very geschmack. You sort of reminded me of it because you said ma, you talked about ma this morning, humility. I heard once from my friend, Rabbi Sariel Malitsky. He told me one Pesach. He said, we say in the Haggadah, matzah she'anu ochlim al shum ma. Right? You remember that line in the Haggadah? Matzah she'anu ochlim, the matzah that we eat, al shum ma. What's it about? So he said that he saw once in a sefer, he wasn't sure where, that you would think grammatically it should be the other way around. Right? Al shum ma anu ochlim matzah. It's a little funny, like matzah she'anu ochlim, the matzah that we eat, al shum ma. What is it about? You would think that it should be the other way around. It would make more sense to say, why do we eat the matzah? Right. Matzah al shum ma anu ochlim. Matzah, for what reason do we eat it? So he said, he saw in a sefer that we're hinting to ourselves, no. Matzah shanu ochlim, the matzah that we already ate, because God said so, now al shum ma. By the way, why did we just do that? Now we're allowed to explore it. But first I have to do it. It's nasa before nishma. First I sign up to do what God tells me to do. Afterwards, you want to try to figure out why it's beneficial for you or what other kavanas you want to have, gavaldik. But first, eat the matzah. Right? Matzah shanu ochem, the matzah that we just consumed. Right? Al shum ma, again, in the Haggadah, we haven't consumed the matzah yet. In the Seder, we haven't consumed the matzah yet. But we're acknowledging the fact that I'm going to eat the matzah even if I don't understand what the matzah is about. I'm going to eat the matzah, which is the food of humility, with the realization that, why do I eat matzah? Because God says so. I don't know. Hashem says eat the matzah. Hashem says, eat the matzah. I found it a barbanel on Sukkos, in Parshas Re'eh. Sitting in the Sukkah with my brother, we found it a barbanel together. Barbanel says in Parshas Re'eh, what's the challenge of Hayisa Ach Sameach on Sukkos? You know what the challenge is? It's Chag HaOsif. You just gathered in all of your produce. You're super successful. You're sitting there with a pile of cash. Right? And Hashem says, I want you to make a Yom Tov and be happy. So you say, of course I'm happy. I just cashed in. I just brought in all my produce. I've been working in the field for months. And now I reap the crops. So I would make a party either way. So Hashem says, right, that's exactly the point. The Abar Benel says, Hashem says, I want you to make a party, and I want it to be about God, not about your financial success. So Chavar, this is a big challenge. I can give you a lot of vartlach about it, but the bottom line is, it's a madrega of Avram Avinu that we need to strive for. To realize, like Avram Avinu, there's a lot of ways to do the things that I'm going to be doing anyways. But if I can catch myself and do it kasher tziva Hashem, if I can do it because God says so, it's a totally different experience. And again, there's a lot of ways to transform a lot of the things we're already doing to make it more God-focused and less bein adam la'atzmo, less self-serving. Okay, let's try the next piece. Oz Beis. The Medrash says, Vayomer Hashem el Avram lech lecha me'artzecha. This is the Medrash that begins this section of the Medrash on this week's Parsha, the beginning of this week's Parsha. Rabbi Yitzchak Pasach, Rabbi Yitzchak began, Shim'i Bas Uri'i, V'hati Oznech. We're in the top of the left column on page 28, obviously in the lower part of the page. Shim'i Bas Uri'i, listen, my daughter, and see, V'hati Oznech, and incline your ear. Hati means like lean over and listen in. My God is talking to you, Avram. Lech lecha me'artzecha. Hashem is talking to you. You know why I like this medrash? You know why I think this medrash has to do with Lech lecha? The Sfasemis says, Lech lecha me'artzecha wasn't only said to Avram Avinu. Lech lecha me'artzecha was declared in the world, and Hashem says, whoever wants it, come along for the ride. But the only one who was listening carefully and actually heard it was Avram Avinu. Because the rest of the world wasn't listening. They weren't trying to hear God. So that's what this pasuk in Tehillim is saying. Shim'i bas uri'i. Am I listening deeply? Am I looking deeply? Hati oznech, am I inclining my ear? Am I begging Hashem? I'm trying to hear you, God. Are you out there? You know? If you're familiar with the Dr. Seuss book, what book am I referring to? That's correct. Say it aloud so your friends can hear. Horton Hears a Who? Familiar? I was holding in that? The book, the movie, something. Yeah? trying to hear something that seems so far away. It's an amazing mashal, that Dr. Seuss book. So Avram Avinu was begging Hashem, come on, God, I'm begging you, I'm trying to hear something. And finally he hears, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, oh, Hashem spoke to me. Mashal Le'echad Shai Over Mi Makom La Makom, says the Medrash, it's like a person who was traveling from place to place, just trying to figure out what's going on in the world. V'ra'a bira achas dolekes. And he saw a bira, he saw a palace that was dolekes, that was illuminated. He sees a light on in the window. Amar tomar sha'abira hazos b'lamanig. Could one possibly suggest that this bira, this palace, doesn't have an owner? Right? The lights are on. There's someone in there. Someone lives here. Hate it's a love balabira. So the balabira, the master of the palace, pokes his head out the window as this wanderer is wondering, whose house is this? Who lives here? Amar lei anihu bal habira. This is a very famous medrash when God, so to speak, peeks out from behind the curtain and says, hi, you've been looking for me? Yes, I actually do exist. I'm the bal habira. I'm the master of this house. I'm the manik of the world. Kach lefishaya Avram, avinu Avram, omer, tomar. When Avram was walking around looking at the world and saying, could it be that this world doesn't have a manhig? This world doesn't have someone who's guiding it? So Hashem pokes his head on and says, hi, I'm the Baal Ha'olam. I'm the master of the world. Okay? Hates means to glance, to peek out. Hashem poked his head out, so to speak. Literally to glance. But God glanced in his direction and said, hi, Shalom Aleichem, I'm the one you're looking for. Okay? Now, I don't know exactly what was bothering the Yismach Yisrael about this medrash. It's a very nice medrash. It's a simple mashal to understand. But he says, HaMedrash hazeh t'mua v'kasha laholmo. V'kor dibru b'kodshom b'feirish HaMedrash hazeh kama sifrei kodesh. It's a difficult medrash to understand that many have spoken about. Now, again, I don't know what's so difficult about it. But let's see what he has to say about it. Again, I don't know that we'll fully understand what's bothering him with the medrash, but we'll certainly understand the medrash better. Again, there's not the type of medrash that I feel like there's a major kasha on this medrash. I don't know what's the question on the medrash. Avram was searching for God. The medrash gives a very nice mashal of one who discovers, the one who's in charge. What does that have to do with the pasuk? It has to do with Avram, like I said, walking around trying to listen in, trying to hear God. I don't know. I don't know what such a kasha on the medrash, but let's see what the mahalach in the medrash is. So he says, my father, the previous Rebbe of Alexander, Bichil. My father, Kvod Kedushas Adoni Avi Mayri V'Rabi Zatzal. My father, Zuchusi Yagen Aleinu. He already explained, Dibra B'Katra Levar. Here was the question that Avram was grappling with. Dihine Aleph Aleph Ayin Hay stands for Avram Avinu Olav Hashalom. Avram Avinu Olav Hashalom. Heisig hasagos alukus ve'emunaso yisbarach shemo misad chakiras sichla. Avram was a philosopher. He used the power of chakira, of intellectual inquiry, philosophical inquiry, with his seicha, with his intellect, to try to understand God. That's how Avram began his search. He started asking questions. He was philosophizing. He was wondering. He was curious. So when Avram discovered that there are a lot of people who are sinning, and there are a lot of people who are enjoying the pleasures of this world, and all of that comes from the tiv'aras hayetzahara, from the fiery yetzahara within a person. And the yetzahara is compared to a raging fire inside of a person. So Avram says, that's the Bira Dolekes. That's the palace that's what? That's illuminated, or some say on fire. Right? The palace is on fire. Or there's a light on in the palace, a fire in the inside. So Avram's looking at the world, and he's saying, on the one hand, I feel like there's a God in the world. On the other hand, the world seems kind of hefker. People doing a lot of things out there, that it doesn't really look like there's anyone in charge. That was what was bothering Avram Avinu. On the one hand, something about the world was so obvious to him that there must be a creator. And yet the way that the people of the world functioned, he felt there's clearly no one who's like running the show here. Because they probably would have stopped some of this ridiculous behavior a long time ago. That was the question of Avram Avinu. Zecha yapeirish bira achas dolekes. That's what it means when Avram saw that the palace was dolekes. It was on fire with the fire of the Yetzirah. He saw there's so much taiva, there's so much sin in the world, and there's so much serving Olam Haz in the world, so maybe there isn't a creator. Maybe he doesn't actually exist. Maybe this is just one beautiful, crazy accident called planet Earth. Ukamuva lekaman b'medrash, or as the medrash says, more explicitly, that Avram had this question, Rabbi Levi b'shosha haya Avram Avinu mahalich ba'aram naharayim uba'aram nachur, as Avram was wandering around trying to find a civilized society, ra usan ochlim vishosim upochzim. What did Avram discover? Partying, eating, drinking, right? Pochzim. Pochzim you have by the bracha of Reuven, pachaz kamayim. Right? Reuven, you're impetuous. It just means like wild, you know? Eating and drinking and just loose behavior. Not thinking, the opposite of thinking. Reuven is criticized for acting too quickly. He's pachaz kamayim. When Yaakov Avinu gives his bracha, which is a little bit of a rebuke to Reuven, he calls him pachaz kamayim. You're impetuous like water. You move too quickly. Right? So Avram walks around and he sees people are just, they're living a carefree, eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow you'll die. That's how people are living their lives. Omar says, Avram, halavai lo yali chelak ba'aretz hazos. Avram says, I don't want to be a part of this. But I don't know where I'm supposed to go, and I don't know who I'm supposed to serve. But I don't think it's the, you know, the cup of beer in my hand. I don't think that's my God. He's trying to figure out, where do I go? Who's my chevra? Like, the world was very hefker. And because of his philosophical nature, Avram began to contemplate. He asked a further philosophical question. Avram said, it doesn't seem to me like there's hashkacha pratis over all of these people. It doesn't make sense to me that God would pay attention to these lowly people. How could it be that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is able to precisely watch over the lives of every individual? And yet at the same time, without God's constant presence, the world would collapse. So he's trying to figure out, Hashem, what's your deal? Well, how does this work? On the one hand, the world declares your existence, declares the truth of Hashem. Each of these individuals could not survive without you. And yet you're letting them get away with murder, basically. And sometimes literally. Like, what's going on? Why do you allow people to just live this carefree lifestyle? And how do you just let people punch you in the face all the time? How do you allow people to disgrace you? If the world is a reflection of you, so don't you care what it looks like? If someone comes into my house and starts acting in a way that's not befitting for myself and my family, so I throw them out of the house. So why, Hashem, why do you allow this? This is what was bothering Avram Avinu. Ela Amar Avram Avinu, Olav HaShalom. So you know what conclusion Avram came to in his philosophical quest? You know what he came to the conclusion? He said, it must be that Al HaTzadikim, top of the next page, 29, Hadveikim Bo Yisbarach Humashkiach Aleim Be'ein HaPekicha. It must be that those righteous individuals who cling to God, Hashem pays a lot of attention to. He watches them be'ena pakicha, with open eyes, with hashkacha pratis. If you're a good Jew, you pay attention to God, God will pay attention to you. As the pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim, Hashem imachem, is a great little pasuk. They don't know too many pasukim from Divrei Hayamim, but this is a good one to know. Hashem imachem b'yoschem imo. God will be with you when you're with Him. Or as we saw numerous times when we learned Kedushas Levi, he likes to quote from the Shlach Kadosh, Hashem Tzilcha, God is your shadow. Hashem follows your lead. You're tight with God, you think about Hashem, Hashem thinks about you. But said Avram, the third line, Hainu, La'osan shedveikim bo yisbarach, to those who cling to Hashem, Ein safek shakadosh baruch hu mashkiach chaleim. Aval l'shar ha'am, but what about everyone else? Masar osam l'marechas hashamayim. Avram said, it must be that Hashem has left them to what? To the Ma'arechas HaShemayim, literally to the order of the heavens. Right? Meaning God set up a natural order. Hashem spun the world, and the world now continues to spin on its own. There are individuals who have a very personal relationship with God, but the majority of people are just governed by the rules of nature. Instead of being governed by God, you're governed by, right? As some like to say, instead of being under the watch of Avinu Shavashamayim, our loving Father in heaven, right? So you're under the watch of Mother Nature, which is obviously a less of a hashkacha pratis. There's a natural order to things. The way Hashem set up a scientific natural world to just, you know, kind of run its course. That's what Avram concluded. That's what it must be. If you're a very holy person, you get special privileges, special connection to God. If not, everyone else is just, you know, they do their thing. Now, the reason this piece is really important is because what the Yisrach Yisrael is about to call Avram's mistake, there are many Jews who believed in and still believe in. When the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim describes how Hashkacha Pratis works, what the Yisrach Yisrael is about to call a mistake is exactly what the Rambam himself believed, which is what? Which is the more connected you are to God, the more Hashem is paying attention to you. So the Rambam sets up a hierarchy. If you're a big tzaddik, so Hashem is very much connected to you and pays attention to the details of your life. If you're just a regular human being, so Hashem pays less attention. If you're an animal, then even less than a human being. If you're a rock, inanimate objects, even less. The Rambam sets up a whole hierarchy. I think he has five levels, although I'm not sure, in the Mor Nevuchim, where the Rambam says the more connected, the more you think about Hashem, the more Hashem thinks about you. So the Yisrach Yisrael says that's what Avram originally believed. But he's about to say what Chassidus actually believes, what the Baal Shem Tov believed, which is no such thing. Hashgacha Pratis is for all. And not only for all human beings, regardless of our behavior, but Hashgacha Pratis is for every blade of grass. Or as the Rebbe of Bunim said, of Simcha Bunim, one of the Rebbeim of the Yisrach Yisrael said, that if you're walking down the street and you kick a rock in passing, by accident, a rock gets caught under your shoe and you kick it from point A to point B, that was divinely ordained. That rock had to be moved from point A to point B. You know, when I think about the sheet of Chassidus and Hashgacha Pratis, I think about it every Friday night when I daven Kabbalah Shabbos. The truth is, not every Friday night, because it depends where we daven. If we daven in the social, I think about it less. When we daven in the Beis Medrash in our shul, I think about it, whenever I'm there, I think about it. Because where I stand in the shul, there's like a window, there's like a high window. And when I look out the window, the only thing I can see is the top of a tree. And I like to look at the top of the tree, I like to look at the leaves blowing at the top of that tree during Kabbalah Shabbos. I think to myself, every move of that tree is Bashkacha Pratis. It's a very cool thing to think about. You watch the wind blowing, you watch things moving. Hashem is moving it exactly the way that He wants it to move. Or as other tzaddikim said, I don't remember who said it. Simcha Bunim, I think, was one who said, you kick a rock from point A to point B. One of the other tzaddikim said, if you take a scoop of dirt, of sand, right, and the tiny, tiny pieces of sand on the side, right, fall into that hole. You're digging a hole in the beach, and some of the other, you know, grains of sand shift from their place. That's all Bashkacha Pratis. Every little move is divinely ordained. Hashem is watching over everything. How that worked with our free will is a good question, not for now. But Hashem is paying close attention. So Avraham at this point came to the conclusion, right? And that idea, by the way, of trying to see, like, you know, Hashem and everything, if you want to better understand this idea, I recommend learning the Tanya's Shar Yichud V'Amuna. That's where I first started to, like, pay attention to the world in Hashkacha Pratis kind of way. To believe that everything that's happening in the world, you watch a bird fly by, it's Hashkacha Pratis. It's exactly... You watch the bird go from this branch to that branch. You watch the squirrel jump from your top of your garbage can back up to the tree, which I get to see quite often. Yeah? It's a Vashkacha Pratis. It's exactly the way Hashem wants it to be. So Avram says, I understand that Hashem pays attention to those people who are paying attention to God. But what about everyone else? So Avram says, it must be, why would Hashem let them get away with this bad behavior? It must be that God doesn't pay attention to them. That was Avram's conclusion. Right? In the fourth line of Alishara Am Masra Sam Lama Rechas Hashemayim, they're just governed by a natural order. The world spins, and like whatever happens, happens. Kain Haya Hasamach Dalid Shal Avram Avinu Al Hashem. That was the Salka Daitach, right? That was in Gemara language. You would have thought to say, this is what Avram thought to say. This was the Hava Amina. Aval, underline this next line. Ha'emes, Shakarish Baruch Hu, Mashgiach, Af, Al Shval, Shebeshvelim. But the truth of the matter is that Hakadosh Baruch Hu pays attention to the lowest of the low. And Hashem is big enough, yes, to pay attention to everyone and to anyone. And some people really don't like this idea. Why should that be? Why should God pay attention to people who don't care about God, don't pay attention to Him? And they'll say something like, well, it's not that I don't believe that God could pay attention to them, but why should He? And the answer is because Hashem is not so petty. And Hashem is able to see the goodness of everyone and everything. So we look at the person, and we, being our haughty selves, not being down the kav schos, we write the person off and say, why should Hashem pay attention to that person? He doesn't deserve it. And Hashem says, you don't see him the way that I see him. You see the outside of a person, but I see into the heart. Like the Navi says, at that moment that David Melech, the youngest of the brothers, is selected from the pack. And everyone said, David, what? That's the son of Yishai. That's the Ben Yishai who's going to become the Malchus, that's Mashiach. What? And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, by way of the Navi, yeah, you see with your eyes, but I see the heart. I see what's going on the inside. So you don't understand what I see. Hashem says, of course, I'm willing to work with these people. And by the way, in terms of the other part that's bothering you, Avram, that you feel that they're getting away with it, they're not going to get away with it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm very patient. But of course there's schar va'onesh. It's not hefker. Just because I'm not striking people down with lightning bolts, that doesn't mean that the world is not being precisely governed, Hashem says. I'm paying close attention. I know exactly what's going on here. Ve'ein davar nistar mineged einav. Hashem says, I know exactly. Nothing's hidden from my eyes. Rak bechem laso uverov rachamav, hu sovel umalim ein misorvim. What does it mean? It's a line from Musaf on Yom Kippur. That Hashem in His kindness is what? He's sovel umalim ein misorvim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu what? Hashem continues to sovel, He bears. Hashem is willing to put up with, He's patient. And He puts up with the misorvim. He keeps His eye on the misorvim. Misorvim means those who are rebellious. Those who are recalcitrant. Those who are not falling into line. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I give them time. Laman yet tekuma la'olam haza. Hashem says, I can't interfere all the time. It's going to mess up the way that the world operates. The great gift of free will means I got to give you a little space. You're going to have to learn from your mistakes. The parent who's always paying, you know, is hovering over the child. The child's not, I think, well, if I always tell my child what to do, then they'll grow up better. No, they won't. They'll be very unhealthy. Give the child some space. Let the child make mistakes. Let the child get some things right. Trust that with your guidance, right? Of course I'm still watching, but I can't interfere all the time is what Hashem says. And those people who, by the way, make bad choices, they're going to answer. That's not hefker. There's a mitas hadin, but let's give them a chance. Maybe they'll change their ways. Maybe they'll work out their ways. Hashem says, don't think that I'm not paying attention to them just because my world looks like it's on fire. V'zehu divrei ha-medrash, kach amar Avram Avinu, Tovar Sha'ol Mazeh Belo Manig, Hainu Kenizkir Le'el. Avram, again, he knew God existed. So that maybe that was what was bothering the Yismach Yisrael. Maybe that's the question. Right? If Avram knew God existed, how does Avram even ask the question, could it be that there's no God? Avram at that point sensed that there's a God. What Avram was asking is, could it be that there's a God who's intimately involved in the world, and yet the world at some time seems like totally out of control? And Hashem's answer to Avram, he pokes out his head and says, yes, it can. I care about the lowlifes also. I hope that they'll do tshuva. If they don't, by the way, don't think that they're partying and enjoying the world is free of charge. They're going to have to pay for it one day. But Hashem's saying to Avram, but don't think that I'm not paying attention to every detail of the world. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anihu Baal HaBira, Anihu Baal HaOlam, I'm the master of the world. Kulo Be'echusa V'chamosa. In terms of the quality and the quantity, control of the world, I'm watching everything. As the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, and by the way, it's one of the first lines in the Shulchan Aruch. Im Yisoser Ish Bamistarim V'ani Lo Arenu Nom Hashem. Im yisaser ish bamistarim, if a person will hide himself in a concealed place, va'ani lo erenu, it's rhetorical. Rhetorical question. Will I not see him? Says God, of course I'll see him. I pay attention to everything. So Avram says, but God, so then why do you put up with this nonsense? And Hashem says, because I'm very merciful. And Avram says, wow, I guess I should be merciful too. And Hashem says, yeah, I guess you should. And that becomes the mitzvah of Avram Avinu, the ish chesed who goes out to Makar of the world. Instead of running away from these low lives, instead of Avram saying, I don't want to live in this town, where ochlim, v'shosim, v'pochsim, Avram says, you know what, I'm actually going to go set up shop in those towns and try to be makari of people. And he does. He learns from Hashem, rak berov rachamei, berov rachamai, ani sovel umalim ein mesor l'ban kiyum olam. Hashem says, in my rachmanis, I'm willing to give people a chance to try to straighten out their ways. Okay, I want to stop here in this piece. And I want to end this morning on one last piece. Turn the page to page 30. I want to look at Oz Gimel together. Okay, we'll end with Oz Gimel. Yeah. I'm applying it that Avram took this as his own personal mission statement. But he's saying it. That's what Hashem taught him. Hashem said, I'm patient. Avram, don't be so, you know. Again, sometimes a person becomes religious, which is what's happening to Avram here, and they can't handle anyone. They run off to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's cave. Until Hashem sets them straight and says, you got to learn how to deal with the world. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai needed 13 years to figure that out. Avram Avinu maybe needed a little bit less time. Once Hashem says to him, you know, I want you to understand that I am paying attention to these people, and you should too. And guess what? Maybe they'll change their ways. And if they don't think that they're going to get away with it. In case you're tempted, well, maybe I'll just, you know, live a carefree lifestyle and enjoy. No, it's not Hefker. There's no free pass. You're going to have to answer for it one day. But Hashem says, well, let's give people a chance. It's very important, such an important idea in how you relate to other people. Especially, God willing, one day with your own children. If you're an inspired person, it's very hard to know when to be hands-on and when to be hands-off with your own children. These people who are just, they're hovering over their children, because and they mean so well, they just want their kids to be a certain thing. But you have to just be a role model and trust that your children will make the right choices. I never tell you guys what to do. I'm happy to talk. If you want to ask, people don't like talking to me because when I give advice, I don't actually give you any advice. Sam hates me because I never give him any advice. I'm always like, what do you think? But that's my advice. My advice is I trust you. My advice is I trust you, and let's talk about it, and then you decide what you want to do. I don't know. Right? Yoni also doesn't like you for the very same reason. I never tell people what to do. But I think that's the proper mahalach. Right? What I'm understanding from this medrash is, that was Avram's question. Avram's question is, okay, so Hashem, me and you, we'll have our own private thing. And everyone else, they must be operating, you know, like a blade of grass or like a bird. And Hashem's like, by the way, the blade of grass and the bird, I'm also paying attention to. I'm mashkiach al kol. And I hope that they'll change their ways. And you can help me if you want, Avram Avinu. And if they don't, by the way, there will be consequences. Yeah. He does say lech lecha, so that's part of this lech lecha. Yeah, I guess that's part of the mission statement. But the Medrash is telling us Avram was already wandering around for a long time trying to figure this out. And the philosophical question that he was struggling with was, if Hashem is here, so then why does he let people get away with this nonsense? And if God is not here, well, does that mean God is not here? So the answer that Avram receives is that no, Hashem says, I am here, and I'm patient, and there are consequences. And exactly, lech lecha, maybe join me on the mission to be Makai of the world. Okay, let's go on to Oz Gimel. Lech lecha me'artzecha. Okay, we have another 10 minutes, and then we'll stop. Let's move a little quickly. Says Rashi, lahanascha letovascha, leave your land. Rashi says, lech lecha. What does that imply? Lecha, it's for you. Lahanascha letovascha. It's going to be good for you. Va'od she'odia tivacha. And I want people to get to know your teva. I want people to know your nature. To make you famous. So time out. We learned earlier this week from Rabbi Nachman that being famous is not such a good thing. So what does it mean? This is beneficial for you. And then Hashem gives an example. You know how it's going to be beneficial? Everyone's going to know about your nature. Everyone's going to know how you operate, Avram Avinu. Why is that good? And what does that mean? To know your teva? To know a person's teva? To know your nature? What does that mean, to know one's nature? What does it mean for Avram to... What was Avram that Hashem wants him to spread? What was the teva of Avram Avinu? What was his nature? And what was his nature? So he explains, al derech haremez va'avoda ulai nuchal lefarish. Perhaps we can explain as follows. Dine noda she'Avram Avinu olav ha'shalom shtei kil Yosef novos chachma. What was really awesome about Avram Avinu as a role model is that Avram teaches us that a person can make his relationship with God second nature. Let's remind ourselves, and let's not use it, God forbid, as an excuse for ourselves. You know why we don't need to learn Bava Kama? Because Avram Avinu never learned Bava Kama. He was a good Jew. Why do I need to learn Bava Kama? Do you realize that Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov and Yosef, none of them ever learned Torah? Like the Torah, our Torah? Isn't that crazy? Yaakov Avinu is described as the Ishtam Yoshev Olam. He spent his whole life learning Torah. But what did Torah mean to him? It was before Kabbalah's Torah. Our Avos never had the Torah. They never learned one daf of Gemara the way that we do. Never a Rashi. Never a Tosfos. Never a great question from Rabbi Akiva Eger. Now again, they obviously, Chazal say, they learned Torah. So what were they learning? What did it mean for them to learn Torah? How did Avram, I told you at the beginning of this year, the Gemara says in Yoma and in Kedushin, that Avram kept all of the mitzvos. How? How did he know how to keep the mitzvos? And the answer is, it came from within himself. It was a teva. He looked, it became part of his own nature. Shtei kil Yosef novos chachma. What does that mean? I got to get the words down. Shtei kil Yosef. What are klayos? Kidneys. His two kidneys, which in Chazal language means kidney is seen as a source of etzah, place of guidance. His kidneys were novos chachma. They were flowing with wisdom. He figured it out. God didn't have to come down to Har Sinai to tell Avram how to live the life of a Jew. Avram was able to look inside himself and to figure it out. And you know how you do that? Well, if you want your body to be able to just perceive what it's supposed to do, you need to make sure your body's pretty holy. He purified and he sanctified the 248 limbs of the body, and the shesa, the 365 sinews of the body, right? The ligaments that hold together the various parts of the body, the muscle, the tissue. Okay, 248 and 365, of course, is 613. So Chazal, this is Chazal speaking. Chazal understood that the body, every part of the body corresponds to a different mitzvah. 248 mitzvahs aseh, 365 los aseh. So Avram was able to refine his body in such a way that what? That his body was able to tell them. His left arm said, put tefillin on me. He sensed it. He never got a command specifically to wear tefillin. But Avram Avinu somehow was mekayim that mitzvah. He sensed it. He went from being Avram to Avraham. That Avram refined his body to such a degree, he was even able to control the five body parts, which are very hard to control. Now, what is that? It's a Gemara in the Darim Daf Lamed Beis. He says, Ayin Sham. So I'll tell you what they are. When Avram becomes Avraham, when he goes from Avram, which is Gematria 243, to Avraham 248, it's because he had gained control over five limbs, which are very difficult to control. What are they? The Gemara in the Darim says, Shtei Einayim, your two eyes, Shtei Oznayim, your two ears, and your Makom Hamila. In the language of the Gemara, Rosh HaGviya. Right, the top of the sexual organ. Shtei Einayim, Shtei Oznayim, and the Makom Hamila. So Avram got a bris milah. And he became tamim, he became complete. All 248 limbs of his body were sanctified. Amazing. So he got the extra hay in his name. He went from Avram to Avraham. Avraham is 248. He was now a reflection of the divine image. He was now a reflection of the Tzelem Elokim with which a person is created. What's the gematria of B'Tzelem Elokim? Moshe Wolfson writes in Emunah Sitech on Bereishis, what's the gematria of B'Tzelem Elokim? Pasuk says that man is created B'Tzelem Elokim. What's the gematria of B'Tzelem Elokim? Elokim is how much? Some gematrias you just need to know. Elokim is a good one to know. Elokim is how much? 86. Let's go slow. How much is Elokim? He's 86. Okay. So how much is Selim? Tzadi Lamed Mem. It's 140. Okay. Bit Selim Elokim. So the Pasuk says, man has created Bit Selim Elokim. So 142. So what's 142 and 86? 248. Right? So when my whole body, all 248 limbs of my body reflect a higher spiritual calling, that's when a person is living B'Tzelem Elokim. B'Tzelem is 142, he said. No, not 142. 162. Yeah, thank you. 162. 162 and 86. It's 248. I'll tell you an awesome story I heard recently. I heard this from a Rav who said he heard it from the person who heard it from his parents. 248 is Gematria Avraham. And 248 is all the limbs of the body. That's what Avram was, the wholesome person. V'hayei tamim, he was complete. So I heard a story. I heard a story from Rav Yisrael Simcha Shor, the brother of Avram Shor, who lives in Muncie. He told this story. He said that he heard from someone that this person who told him the story, his parents hosted Rav Elchanan Wasserman when he came to America. Rav Elchanan Wasserman was the student of the Chafetz Chaim. Rav Elchanan Wasserman was the Rosh Yeshiva in Baranovich. Rav Elchanan Wasserman went back to Europe to die with his Talmidim, more or less, because he felt that he can't abandon them And he went back knowing full well that it was not going to be easy to ever get out of that place. And unfortunately, he died al Kiddush Hashem during the Holocaust. Talmud of Chavetz Chaim. Talmud Muvak of the Chavetz Chaim. So Rav Chanan Wasserman came to stay by these people when he came to New York, when he was collecting money for the yeshiva. And these people owned a dog. Now, let me preface this story with a line in the Beis Aaron, of Aaron of Karlin in Parshas Bo, about the Baal Shem Tov. I feel like I mentioned it recently. I don't know if I mentioned it here. Rav Aaron of Karlin, I told you this recently? Rav Aaron of Karlin writes that when the Baal Shem Tov was traveling one time, he came to a certain place. There was no place for him to spend Shabbos. So he spent Shabbos out in the open field. The Baal Shem Tov built himself a little Erev, and he spent Shabbos in the field. And there were animals in the field. There was a horse in the field, and there was a cow in the field. He spent mamash amongst the animals. And the Beis Aaron, Rav Aaron of Karlin, writes in Parshas Bo that when the Baal Shem Tov was mekabel upon himself Shabbos, when he invited in the Shabbos, Kabbalah Shabbos, at the moment of Kabbalah Shabbos, as he transformed that field into a place of Shabbos, the Kedusha of Shabbos, he said the animals got up on their hind legs and started walking around on two legs. Because he lifted up the environment so much that the animals, instead of walking on all fours, started walking on two legs. That's what Rav Aaron of Karlin says about the Baal Shem Tov. So Rav Yisrael Simcha Shor said he heard from someone whose parents hosted Rav Elchanan Wasserman, that when Rav Elchanan Wasserman came to their home, this is what he said, take it or leave it. Now Rav Elchanan, the people say about Rav Elchanan, he mamish had a tzelem Elohim. Rav Elchanan was a kadosh, b'li guzma, without an exaggeration. I mean, the person who died al Kiddush Hashem in the end was not only a reflection of his death, it was a reflection of his life. Right? They said that when Rav Elchanan Wasserman came to the home, the dog would walk around on its back legs. The dog would like go up and would walk around like that. I don't know if the whole time, but when it saw Rav Elchanan, it would go up and it would stand. It'd stand up on two legs for Rav Elchanan. Not like a dog that just goes up and like is licking a person. They said it was like weird. Like when they saw Rav Elchanan, it would start walking around. It was can't walk around like an animal. I'm in the presence of Rav Elchanan Wasserman. So the dog lifted itself up. Kavod HaTorah, Tenu Kavod HaTorah. It's crazy. And the people said it was like the weirdest thing. The dog never did this. When Rav Elchanan came to the house, the dog would stand up on its hind legs and walk around on its hind legs. Tzelem Elokim. So Avram Avinu was Betzelem Elokim. Avram Avinu was a radiant Jew. Avram Avinu, says Chazal in the Yerushalmi, seven lines at the bottom. Avram Avinu asam eira tov. Avram took his Yetzirah and he transformed it into a Yetzirah tov. Avram took every body part which could be used in a destructive and negative way, and he made it holy. And by the way, if you think Avram Avinu was born this way, it's the farthest thing from the truth. Chazal say about Avram Avinu, three lines from the bottom, mi yitain tahor mi tame lo echad. The pasuk says in Eov, who could cause purity to come from impurity? Right? Lo echad. Lo is a Korean aksiv. It's lo with an aleph, lo with a vav. Different ways to learn Pashup Shad in the pasuk. Right? But this pasuk was said about Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was the person who became tahor from tame. He came from terach. He came from an idol worshiper. I told you yesterday, his mother was a ben nida. He was a ben nida, which means his mother hadn't gone to the mikvah when he was born, which has a very negative spiritual hashpa on a person. And Avram overcame all of that and took every limb of his body and made it kadosh. All 248 limbs. Afal pichein hirgil kol evarav kol kach. Shelo yasu shum tenua kala, that he wouldn't make even the slightest move. Shelo l'ratzon yisparach shemo, that every move of his body was a fulfillment of the ratzon Hashem. Raka kol b'kedusha uvetara. Top of page 31. At jehofach es hara letov legamrei, ki ahergel nasa teva sheni. Until it became what? Second nature. Tevasheni. Tevasheni. It translates exactly like you think. Tevasheni. Second nature. We use it in English. It became second nature for Avram to live, to do everything b'kedusha v'tara. So he explains, he says, that's what it means that Avram Avinu, Hashem says, I want your teva to be known in the world. I want your nature to be known in the world. What does it mean, the nature of Avram Avinu? Look how Avram elevated his body to such a degree that it became so natural for him to serve Hashem. It wasn't a struggle. It wasn't that his body wanted to do averos and he fought against it. That's how most of us live our lives when we're making the right choice. Avraham Avinu reached such a level where what? Where his arm was excited to wear tefillin. Right? And his lips were excited to speak words of Torah. It wasn't a reminder, I have to be careful not to speak Lashon Hara. I should try to speak positive diburim of Torah and tefillah. That's just what it was for him. Satmar Rebbe asked the question. We say in Nishmas, Shabbos morning. What do we say? We say every knee bends before you, Hashem. And every tongue declares your praise. Right? We use all these expressions. And every heart is, you know, focused on you, Hashem. So the Satmar Rebbe says, it's very poetic and beautiful, but it's just not true. There are knees that bow in Indian temples. And there are hearts that don't think about God ever. Right? And there are people who speak things other than the praise of Hashem. So what do you mean, every tongue sings your praise, and every knee bows before you, and every heart feels, you know, love and fear of God? It's just not true. So Sam Rebbe said a very sharp thing. Sam Rebbe said, the definition of a heart is a heart that feels connected to Hashem. The definition of true lips and tongue are a mouth that serves Hashem. So every knee that can truly be called a knee is a knee that bends itself for you, Hashem. A knee that's being used to worship before the Zohar, to bow before some idol, that's not a knee. It's not a true knee. What does that mean? It's not a true knee. Biologically, it's a knee. But we're seeing that the body, every bit of the body, is supposed to express a spiritual reality. It's not just supposed to be a physical reality. And that's what it means. Hashem says, I want your teva to be known in the world. I want people to see your body, Avraham. I want them to see what a holy body looks like. Not just that you have nice ideas. There were a lot of great philosophers who had a lot of great ideas in their head, but it didn't trickle down to their limbs. I'm sure you can think of some examples. So the goal is that what? Avraham, I want people to see, look how you transformed yourself into a body of holiness. That's an amazing transformation. To be able to take all of the midos raos, and to what? And not to just destroy them, but to transform them into something positive. That was the mid of Avraham Avinu. Okay, I have to stop here, but you can continue the piece. You look at it over Shabbos, maybe, if you want. And you'll understand the rest of the way. But this was the unbelievable teva of Avraham Avinu. To be able to take our physical bodies and to make them naturally connected to Hashem. That it shouldn't be such a struggle. And Hashem wanted people to see that. What does a healthy, natural Jew look like? It shouldn't be that I'm constantly fighting to discover God. But God should just be something that's natural. It's a part of my life. Part of my language, part of my choices, part of my very essence. Okay? Okay, we thank our Rebbe, the Yismach Yisrael, for another day of Torah. Okay, Shkoyach.